Good evening.
Good evening.
Is this turned on?
Yeah?
Okay, no problem. Well, I have to start by saying these were fantastic up singing guys, the Anchor Boys and the Explorers. These are really, really well turned out. I'm going to take a step of faith and leave that thing to the side. So if I fall over, don't worry about it. Tell me this. Can anybody tell me what this is? The big clue, it's written there now, isn't it? Come on, I expect every hand up if you can read. Okay, what's this? Yes, you?
A compass.
Exactly, a compass. What does a compass do? What's it used for? Yes? Yes, uh-huh, you, yep. Said Emma. Yes, it points you in the right direction. Has anybody here ever been lost? Now, I know the men aren't going to put their hands up because we never admit to being lost. But has anybody ever been lost? Why, people are more never go anywhere, do you? You never get lost. Seriously. Never seen that before. I'm going to tell you about a boy. He was in the company section of BB, so he must have been at least, 11 boys? Would he easily come into company? 11? Thereabouts. And they were setting out with their BB on their way for the weekend. They were going to tramp through water, over hills and through forests. I need an anchor boy to give me a hand. Any anchor boy? Come on ahead. Come on, my friend. If you're going away for that type of weekend, good man. What's your name?
Cameron.
Cameron, I'm Jeff. Pleased to meet you.
Hi.
Good man. Thank you very much. If you're going away for that type of weekend, would you wear a pair of slippers? No. What would you wear on your feet? What would you wear on your feet? Hands up. Let me see. Yes, back. Pair of boots. Let's get you a pair of boots. What size of feet are you?
About...
Let's see. Size 2. Perfect. Here's a pair of size 13s. There's a pair. They fit you?
Probably.
You get them on. That'll do nicely. So he's got his boots on. Now, what would you put on your back if you were going to put a lot of stuff in it? Yes.
Be
well
sweaty.
Well, they are. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
Pardon? Yeah, big rucksack, a bag. You strong? I hope so. Don't fall backwards because I can't pick you up.
I can pick myself.
Got a rucksack. Happy days. We're going well now. You've got the rucksack, you've got the boots. What would cover you in a forest? What would you use?
Camouflage.
Shh. You're about to... Shh. No. Yes. Pardon? Bigger than a coat, something to sleep in.
A tent.
Absolutely. Need a tent. Let me see your arms. Hold on. Got a tent. Inside the tent, you're going to have to sleep. What would you sleep in? Oh, sleeping bag, absolutely. Need a sleeping bag. Hey, don't you drop anything now. Don't fall over them feet. So you've got a tent, you've got a rucksack, you've got a sleeping bag. What if the ground's a bit rough? What would you sleep on if the ground was a wee bit rough? Yes? You hiding behind Emma? Yes? Mattress, a mat, an inflatable mat. You ready?
No.
Let's see.
Yeah.
We'll put that around like
I'll
that.
Get that one put.
That's it.
That's a bit too heavy.
You all right?
That's a bit heavy.
So you would use this if you're going. You all right there?
Yeah.
You sure?
I think so.
Okay. It's good you're well shy, isn't it? Like stuck here. So they got these things, put them all together. Good man.
This one.
That's all right. We'll take them back off. And he got them all packed up on the Friday. Put them into the minibus at the church. Thank you, Cameron. Don't forget to take the boots off in case you fall. That's all right. You take them off. Good man yourself. Yes, you can sit down. Thank you very much. Big hand, please, for Cameron. Just so. Thank you. Thank you, Cameron. So they got into the bus, travelled up to Tullymore. Please don't fall. Travelled up the Tullymore, and it got really, really dark. It was really late when they arrived. And as they were jumping out of the minibus, the captain said to them, "Leave all your stuff there. We're going to go for a dander." So the boys thought, brilliant. But it was a wee bit dark. They took off for a dander. And they walked for ages. It was actually a couple of hours. And then they stopped in the middle of the forest. And the captain and officers turned around and went, "Right, boys, this is your first test. Find your way back to camp." How do you think the boys felt? Hands up, how do you think they felt in the middle of a dark forest? The captain and the officers left them standing. How do you think they felt? Yes. Scared. They were terrified. Absolutely terrified. Stephen, give me a drink, please. Absolutely terrified. I have to stress, your captain wouldn't do that on you now, boys. You're not allowed to with child policy. But this was their first test. Thank you. So they split into teams, and they started to go through the forest. It was very dark. It was very late. There was no torches. They had no food. They had nothing. They had no idea where they were. Because they'd been talking about football and rugby and all sorts of stuff. They hadn't been paying attention. So the more they walked, the more lost they became. And the more lost that they became, the more frightened that they were. And then there was this wee voice. After about another hour, this wee voice simply said, "Well, why don't we use a compass on the map?" So the guy turned around and said, "Do you have a compass?" "Yeah, I do." "Do you know how to use a compass?" "Yeah, I do." "You're a muppet." So, got the compass, put it on the map, took them a while, but they did finally get back to camp. Now, that's a true story, because I was one of those idiots stuck in Tullymore Forest Park in the middle of the night, scared stiff. And I have to emphasize, they will not do that on you now, boys, all right? Not allowed to, but it was good crack. The compass reminds me of the compass that God has given us. The compass that God has given us is his word, the Bible. And just like a compass, it points the way. It points the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points the way to salvation. It points the way to heaven. It points the way to the way the Lord wants you to actually live your life. In Luke 19, in the Bible, anything I quote tonight will not be from my words, it'll be from the Bible. Because that way you'll know it's completely and absolutely true. This is the word of God. It tells us in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." After two, could we say that together? The Bible says, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. We'll repeat it, okay? After two. One, two. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Bible tells us where we're starting from, and that's lost. Just like the boys in the forest, we start out and we're lost. But we're not lost in a forest. We're actually lost in our sin. Maybe you're thinking, "But Jeff, I don't sin. I never sin. I go to my church, go to BB, I go to GB." Or maybe you're older and thinking, "Well, I go to church and I read my Bible, and well, I go to the prayer meeting and I give to charity." Those are all really good things. But I think that we have to ask ourselves, you know, well, what is sin? So hands up, who can tell me what is sin? Who thinks they know? Yes? Bad stuff. Okay, anything else? Yes? This can be quite worrying when you ask this question. No idea. What about the girls? The girls, any ideas? Yes? Okay, bad words. What if I was to tell you, I'm going to tell you what sin is, all right? Sin is the things that we think, the things that we say, and the things that we do that break God's commands. Can you bring that up, please? It's disobeying God, okay? I'd like you to say that with me. Okay, after two. One, two. Sin is things that we think, say, or do that break God's commands. It's disobeying God. Maybe you're thinking, but I don't really break God's commands. I don't disobey God. You know, what if you're sitting in the living room your mum, your dad, or your car, or whoever it is, yells in, turn the TV off, go and wash your hands, it's time for tea. And you're thinking, that's my favorite program. No, I don't think so. Then you're called in for tea. Did you wash your hands, turn that TV off? Yeah. See, you've disobeyed and you've told lies. It's really easy. Or what if maybe, you know, you're in school and you're thinking, do you know what? I really hate her. I hate her. Look at her. Since she got that new laptop, why she thinks she's so cool. Hate the ground she walks on, but I wouldn't mind that laptop. You know, the Lord tells us that hating is a sin. And coveting, wanting something that's not yours, is a sin. You know, as a parent, you never sit down and teach your child to tell lies. You don't teach them how to steal. You don't teach them how to do those things, how to break God's commandment. It actually goes the whole way back to the Garden of Eden. You know, some people don't like to think, oh, I have sin. But it goes way back beyond us. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. Whenever Satan tricked Eve into taking that piece of fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she ate into it. That wasn't enough. She then got her husband to eat into it as well. They disobeyed God. That was the one thing God told them. Do not eat from that tree. Everything else you can have, but don't eat from that tree. And ever since that day to this, we have sin in our lives. We were born with sin. I can tell you a story because my daughter's not here. Back please. Go backwards. I can remember my daughter started to walk at a very early age. She was 9 months, but she wasn't speaking that quickly. That hurt my knee and I was sitting in the living room. Karen was in the kitchen. And next thing, Carrie comes walking in with this big nappy and a packet of crisps. And she just went like this here. And I went, do you want me to open those? It was near tea time. I said, does your mummy allow you these crisps? My daughter had told me her first lines, she couldn't even speak. I was shocked. I didn't teach Carrie to do that. But she did it because she was born in sin. You see, the problem with sin is it separates us from God. Next slide, please. You know, I think to understand sin, we have to understand God. Hands up. What is God like? What do you think God is like? Yes? God's good? Yes. What else is God like? Perfect. Good answer. What else is God like? Oh, you're just fixing your hair. You're lovely. Any girls? These girls are all really shy. No? Anybody else? What's God like? Come on. Yep. God's nice. He's good. He's perfect. God is holy. He's fair. He's just. And you see, God does not like sin. Where does God live? That's an easy one. Come on. Expect all the boys and girls' hands up. Where does God live? Yes. Heaven. So if God lives in heaven, and he is holy, and he is sinless, and he is perfect, he's not going to let sin into heaven. Sure he's not. No. And the Bible tells us that he's not going to let sin into heaven. And that is what separates us, separates me, and it separates you from God, is the sin within. The Bible tells us in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. What are wages? Right, bigger fellas, because we're all heading that way in life. What are wages? Wow, did you ever see them that quiet? Bet you that quiet at home. Come on, wages, what are wages? You do a job and what happens? Wow. Yes, thank you, girls. Payment. It's payment for something you've done. That's the perfect answer. It is actually payment. And the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for our sin is death. Can anybody tell me where God punishes our sin? Does anybody know? Yes? Yes, it's a place called hell. And that is where God punishes sin. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you're an anchor boy or explorer. You see, when you go through life, up into maybe university or into your next job or up through primary school, secondary school, it doesn't matter where you go, people are going to tell you this. Don't be so silly. God wouldn't create a hell because God is all about love. And, you know, he just wouldn't do it. Well, I have news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ actually preached on hell in his word. And it's because God is fair and is just. See, there is this thing with God. He loves you. And he doesn't want to punish you because he is fair and just. And if that was the end of the story, that would be really depressing. But there's more to this verse. It actually tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think that's brilliant. The first half of that verse is a bit doom and gloom. But the second half, it says, but. That means there's something coming. But the gift of God. A gift's free. You don't buy a gift, you receive the gift. And it's eternal life. And that is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19 tells us, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Who is the Son of Man? Does anybody know? Yes, do you know? No? Okay. Back row, fell out of the glasses. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. He came to seek and to save the lost. What does the word seek mean? Really easy. Come on. You've all played hide and seek. What does the word seek mean, Cameron? To find, to go out and look for. What does the word save mean? Save. What if I tell you a story? Whenever I was in the BB, we used to go maybe twice a year, three times a year to the Shankill Leisure Centre, where they had huge waves in the pool. Brilliant, good crack. My brother's 2 years younger than me. And I remember the siren went off and the waves went, but I couldn't find my brother. All of a sudden, I seen this head bobbing up and down under the waves. David wasn't a very strong swimmer. And he started to shout, help! And the lifeguard ran, grabbed the big pole off the wall, and then scooped him up in the water. He saved him. He rescued David from drowning. So the word save means to rescue. But Jesus isn't going to come to rescue you from drowning. Jesus came to save you from the punishment of your sin. So we know that God is holy. We know he's perfect. We know that he's fair. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? What's Jesus like? Come on, hands up. What's Jesus like? Yes? He's exactly the same. And that's because Jesus Christ is God the Son. Because he was holy and perfect, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who could die on the cross. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ who could die on the cross and take the punishment of your sin. You know, 650 years before the Lord Jesus Christ even arrived, in around 650 years, we actually can read in the book of Isaiah that it was foretold that Jesus was going to come. They were going to whip him. They were going to spit on him. They were going to laugh at him and mock him. And you know what? The Lord Jesus knew that before he came to earth. But the Lord Jesus still came to earth because he loves you, because he cares for you. I don't know about you, but I think if I knew that I was going to walk in here tonight and everybody was going to spit at me and beat me and laugh at me, I don't think I'd be coming through the doors. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew what it meant. He knew for him that he had to die on that cross. He knew that he had to do that because he loves you. He knew that he had to do that because he was the only one who could take the punishment for your sin. What happened after Jesus was taken off the cross and put in the tomb? What happened? Yes? Yep. Perfect. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Because of this, this means Jesus has beaten death. God accepted Christ's payment. He accepted Christ taking the punishment for our sins. No one else could do it. Christ did it. When Christ looks at the person who has given their life to him, he sees no sin. because Christ has taken it all away. Sort of think, well, how do I do that? How can I do that? Well, the Bible uses a word called repent, and I didn't even know this. Repent is actually a military term. It's a soldier's term. I want you to get your hands and form a T. If you've got two hands, please do it. That's it. Boy, we're getting there. A T. The first T is to teach us to turn. It's to turn away from. Turn our back on. To turn our back on sin. The second T, change your hands over. Yep. The second T is to trust. It is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To say sorry to the Lord, forgive me, Lord. And he will. He doesn't make you wait. That's it. It's not a case of, I'm a wee bit busy right now, Jeff. I'll get back to you with that. He doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't make you wait. When it comes to salvation, it's yes. If you've asked the Lord into your heart, if you've asked him to forgive your sins, there's more to it than that. The Lord actually wants you to walk for him. He wants you to live for him. And he has a plan for you. How do you think we would find out that plan? How do you think we know what God wants? Where would we find this out? And where would we find it? Yes? The Bible? Yep. We can pray. We read his word. We come to church and we hear what the minister has to say, because the minister doesn't tell you what's on his mind. He tells you what the Lord tells him to say. We read every day. Recently, Karen and I, through reading our Bible at different times, the Lord told us to leave our jobs. We were in good jobs. Karen was a social worker and I was a health and safety manager. It struck me. It really scared me. Sometimes God will ask you to do things that really make you uncomfortable because it's really scary. But you know what? He is always there for you. The Lord doesn't say, I'm forgetting about you. Doesn't matter if you're in the Anchor Boys or the Explorers. Say the whole way through school, university, wherever, the Lord is there for you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. But he does promise that he will take you through the hard times. Doesn't take you around them. He brings you through them. You need to keep reading. You need to keep praying. Just like the boy in the forest who had the compass in his pocket, he was hiding. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to hide your faith in your pocket. God wants you to point others in the direction of Jesus Christ and salvation. He wants you to tell others. It's not easy. It's actually quite hard at times. But go you out there and tell others. The verse we looked at was Luke 19, chapter 10. There it is. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came here and he is seeking for you. Jesus came and he wants to save you. Will you ask the Lord Jesus today to save you? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that your word never changes. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that, Lord, you guide us. I thank you, Lord, for the organizations of the BB and GB. I thank you, Lord, that at the center is the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray now, Lord, for the rest of the service. And then what is said, Lord, is not my words, but, Lord, what you wanted said. I pray for each of the children here today, Lord, that you will work upon their lives. For those who are saved, Lord, build them up in their faith. Lord, help them to be strong. And, Lord, for those who don't yet know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that the day will come soon, that, Lord, they will ask you for forgiveness and to live their lives for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.